Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. We're going to change it up a little bit and just go with a quick intro instead of the long extended one. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. And speaking of changing things up, we are going to kick off our draft series. And I am very pleased to have Felipe Franks, Arkansas quarterback, on to talk some shop. We're going to have his quarterback coach, Steve Calhoun, on. And ladies and gentlemen, each week we are going to give you a show with at least two NFL draft prospects. We're starting off this one just focusing primarily on Felipe Franks and his quarterback coach. But going forward, you'll get two draft prospects. Definitely make sure you continue to tune in each week. And I just really wanted to, you know, keep it going, what we do. This is what Talking with TD was started upon, NFL draft prospect interviews. We've been doing this for quite some time, so I know it's something you guys appreciate, and you love to get underneath the face mask and talk a little shop with the guys, and that's what we will do for you. But first, we're going to actually merge what's normally the third segment with the intro, and that's going to be Chris Sanders. Chris and I are going to talk about the quarterbacks, so here we are with that.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What are we?
Yeah.
Gonna transition right from the intro to this segment right here. Run TMC. No running game today. We're not gonna get into that. We're gonna talk about another part of making things happen on the offense, and that's the quarterback. I got Chris Sanders on like we do every week. Chris,
man,
what's going
on?
Hey, man. It is what it is. This is what we do, right? Gary Coleman and Robert Parrish.
Hey. Nah, and then we got Conway Twitty on the other side.
Oh, man.
Nah, I'm just kidding. We got to throw him in there. But, yeah, man, hey, how you handling with no football right now? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine, man. I got this all 22 to look at, so it's all good, man. It's keeping me busy just watching some just analyzing some prospects. I don't want to say scouting because I'm not a scout, but I'll take a look and see what's what. And one of the guys I've been watching recently is Felipe Franks, who's going to be a guest on this show.
Okay.
So that's something to talk about. But as we discussed before coming on, it's time to go into the quarterbacks for the Titans. And obviously, we know Ryan Tannehill is what he is, right? He's the starter. But, you know, how much longer do you think this window is open with Tannehill as a quarterback?
You know, all kidding aside, too, I would say, this is my opinion, I'd say about three more years.
Mm.
You know, because if you look at when he was in Miami, he really didn't play that much football. He was taking some hits and he got some injuries, but he didn't play that much football with the Tennessee Titans. I think he's starting to get better and better. I know everybody talks about the playoff game when they played against Baltimore. Yeah, but he put up some numbers this year. You know, he put up some numbers in the passing game, and he made some plays at the right time. And you want a guy in the backfield like that, because if you look at or leading playing the quarterback position, because you look about 3 or 4 years ago, we were uncertain at the quarterback position when we had Mariota. We didn't know what he could do. We knew he can make plays here and there, but we didn't know how he was as a passer. We didn't know could he be the franchise quarterback. You don't have that in Tannehill. We know he's a franchise quarterback. I know last year he had a pretty good season, but then this year everybody was coming to say, well, can he do it again? Did he do it again?
Darn right,
he did it again. Did it again. So I think the window is open for about 3 or 4 more years.
Yeah, that's good to hear if you're a Titans fan. And I agree. I think, you know, that there's some time, right? And they don't have to look just right at a quarterback that's going to come in and start. And I think that's why it's perfect that we're talking about this, because I think Felipe Franks is an excellent option if they want to add a guy on day two or day three that can come in and you know, be a backup and then eventually, you know, grow into a starter, whether it's with the Titans or somewhere else. But I think that's a good thing to look at. So as we're talking about these backup quarterbacks, right, Logan Woodside, I
don't know.
You know, He has like that Jeff Garcia to him that you really like, right? You know, that moxie, the intangibles. But I mean, just all joking aside, he has just like that ability to just keep things flowing. You watch him in practice. He gets back there. He distributes the ball where it needs to go. You're not going to see spectacular throws from him, but you see just efficiency on offense. And I think he's a solid option as a backup, but there's still that degree, that question. Okay, if, God forbid, something happens to Tannehill, can he come in and be the guy to make things happen? So what are your thoughts on Logan Woodside? I gave mine.
I still don't know. I'm still unsure because I want to see how he handles some adversity. I mean, how do you handle if you're down by three and you got to go down there and win the game? I haven't seen it. I don't know. So that's going to be a big question mark. And I think that the teams that win in the league have great backup quarterbacks. Look at the situation that happened with the Saints. You have Breeze that goes down. You have Taysom comes in. And then they have Winston. They had all those guys there that have experience. Woodside doesn't have that much experience. I understand he makes plays here and there in preseason, but preseason is totally different from the regular season. So I think he's still unproven. I think for me, and personally, you find a veteran quarterback and come and pay him about $2 million just in case Tannehill gets hurt, because you got to understand something. This window is closing for the Tennessee Titans to go to the Super Bowl, and you want to try to keep everything intact. So all of a sudden, you know, Tannehill goes down to, say, the second game. If you don't have an experienced quarterback that hasn't been in that position, you are in trouble. So I think that we should go that route and then maybe get like a quarterback in just like you said, the fourth or fifth round to come in and to develop. But how's he going to develop if the COVID situation doesn't allow him to develop with the team?
Yeah, so that's just another wrench that is thrown into the game. And I agree on the veteran side of things. And I'll say this about Woodside.
Yeah.
He did have it was a fake punt. Very nice throw to Nick Westbrook and Kenny for a first down late in the year. That was a good play. But, yeah, that experience is something that I think really has to play into, you know, the factor, the equation. And I wonder if Woodside is the guy that do you relegate him to the third quarterback? If you go and get a veteran, do you move on? Well, what do you do?
You got to get a veteran because this year coming up and this year that just passed, it's a different situation. It's with COVID going on, you don't get that much time on the field. You don't get that much time to be in the meeting rooms. You don't get that much time to be around the coaches. So you got to get somebody that understands the game, that understands the speed of the game, even though they're not getting reps. He knows what to do. He knows what cover two. He knows cover three. He knows when they're going to blitz. He knows those things. But if you're starting to go get guys that come straight from college and you put them in, you know, a backup role and Tannehill goes down and he doesn't get that experience with in preseason when they don't have those preseason games, I just don't know. I mean, that's very rare. So in my opinion, you find a quarterback that is available, that has some experience, that can say, you know what, even though – I'm not a starter. I'm preparing like a starter. So that's kind of the situation that I think, I'm just guessing, that they might go.
What would you say is the one positive that Woodside brings to the table?
I mean, just like you said, he's got a knack. He's got a pretty good arm. I mean, he moves around the pocket real good. But you got to remember, in the preseason, you're going against you're going in third and fourth stringers. That's totally different. I'm not saying he's not a playmaker. I'm not saying he can't make plays. I know he's got a pretty good arm and he moves around in the pocket. But it's a different type of speed once you get into the regular season. And I want to see him get in a position in a couple of regular season games and say, okay, yep, he's our backup, but I'm just unsure. So I really can't really speak on him too much.
So you mentioned the importance of having a veteran. At one point, Trevor Siemian was the guy. He was the designated survivor.
You're out of here.
He was practicing on his own. But then he got plucked. Right. And they brought in another quarterback in DeShone Kizer. And Kizer had the same role, designated survivor, except late in the year, he started practicing with the team. And I think, you know, there are similarities as far as his – I mean, I remember watching him at Notre Dame against Temple. I was at that game.
Yeah.
Oh, did he really? Yeah, that's right. Right, at Notre Dame. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Chris. Nice to meet you. Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. So what's your perspective? Because you got a pretty good look at Kaiser. Yeah. What are your thoughts on him?
CJ, I talked to CJ, and CJ said he's got a strong arm, and he sits in the pocket. He's a big kid, tall kid, and CJ said he throws a long ball really, really good. But the one thing that he's going to have, he needs experience when the bullets are really flying. And I understand that he's been in the preseason a little bit, but you got to get in a position to where the live bullets are flying. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to be confused and you're going to get frustrated. You want to put the kid in position to win. You don't want to just throw him out there, okay, hey, he's a quarterback. You want to make sure he's seasoned, he's ready to go, because with the situation with the COVID, there's not going to be a lot of time to develop a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you look at some of the players and some of the quarterbacks and some of the, you know, defensive players, the reason why they didn't have a great season is because they didn't have time to develop. So now we got this year, same scenario, no combine, no, I don't know about the OTAs. So you're not going to be on the field this time. So you need to get a guy that's been a little bit seasoned, has played in the game, and maybe Kaiser's that guy. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's where Kaiser brings some versatility. And it was good for him to end the year on this team, so that way he has that time to get that in-the-building training and start to digest the playbook
and
be good. You mentioned how you can't just throw a quarterback out there. Well, you know, that's what happened with Kaiser in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from sources, he didn't really have a quarterback's coach. There were times where he came off the field and no one was there to go over anything with him on the touchpad or anything like that. And I don't know how a quarterback is supposed to develop in those situations. And I think it's unfortunate because Kaiser has kind of gotten the short end of the stick, and now here he is, you know, a guy that was very talented, and now you know, he's relegated to this, where I personally believe that he could have been a solid starter for someone. Maybe not a franchise guy, but who knows? But he could have at least been a solid starter. So that's a great point you make.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, just imagine if I did play wide receiver. What if I had to do the season of running routes on my own and I didn't have a coach?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking that I'm running them the right way, but in actuality, I'm running the wrong way because they're totally different when you get in the league, how to run them. I know the route tree is the same for a lot of teams, but it's how you run them. And it's the same thing with quarterbacks. How do I look off the safety? How do I know when there's a corner blitz off the boundary? What do I do? How do I look at the second and third receiver? You're not getting that by just being over the computer. He needs to see that in full-time action.
There you have it. Chris, man, I appreciate you. We're going to keep doing this. Maybe we'll figure out what we'll do next week. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
We're going to keep this thing going, man. And make sure you guys tune into the Facebook Live
that
Chris
has.
And I unfortunately missed it. I had a training, but we'll catch you next week.
Man, appreciate you, boss. You the man, big dog.
All right, man.
Boss.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, as we keep it moving along, we're going to actually start our draft series. My first guest on this draft series is a quarterback's coach, a receiver coach as well, Steve Calhoun of Armed and Dangerous. He is the CEO and founder of Armed and Dangerous. Steve has worked with a lot of NFL clients, and we'll let him get into that, but let me bring him on. Steve, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you coming on, and I always like to you know, talk about background with someone like yourself.
Okay.
Just as far as like how you got to this point where you were able to establish your own institution that coaches NFL quarterbacks. Like, we're not talking about, you know, high school. We're talking about NFL quarterbacks. They come to you for help. So how did you get to that point? I know you have quarterback in your background.
Right, exactly. I was a quarterback. I played at New Mexico State, and I had the opportunity to go play over in Europe. So I went and played in Germany for 9 years, and coming back home after I got done playing ball, wanted to, you know, stay involved. But I'm like, man, I have a lot of knowledge about the game. You know, 32 years playing football and playing quarterback. So I said, man, I want to be able to pass on this knowledge, you know, to younger quarterbacks that I never had the opportunity to get from someone like me. So there was a high school kid here in Oceanside near San Diego that I was actually working with for about 6 months before I left to go play my last year in Germany. And he ended up becoming the number one high school quarterback in the country.
Mm.
So his parents were like, hey, I think you find your niche. This is something, you know, you need to be doing. And my brother came up with the name Armed and Dangerous Football. You know, quarterbacks are dangerous with the ball, with their arm. And so 15 years later, you know, here I am, you know, able to train guys like Felipe Franks and, you know, Jordan Love and E.J. Manuel, and the list goes on.
Yeah, and it's funny, right? Armed and dangerous, the dangerous part. You trained Russell Wilson as well. So, you know, that's not something I'm going to let you get away with not mentioning.
Right.
This is a Titans show. It's Titan-centric. In your background, you also have Jake Locker. What was that experience?
Correct.
Just to kind of go a little bit to left field a little bit, but what was that experience like working with Jake Locker?
Well, you know, I actually first started working with Jake when he was a freshman in high school.
Hmm.
At Ferndale. Yeah, so I was part of a coaching staff that ran a quarterback camp here in the Santa Barbara area. And so Jake would come down every year to that camp. And so we were just ended up vibing, and he was like, hey, I want to start working with you privately. And so that's what we were doing. And then, you know, he went to UW and played there. And then once he came out in the draft, you know, I was actually working for the agency that he signed with. So any quarterback that they signed, I was working with them. And one of them happened to be Jake. And so, you know, I was able to take Jake through the NFL draft prep, you know, as I'm doing now with Felipe Franks. And, it was an unbelievable experience to see how far he's come from his freshman year in high school to when he graduated and the career he was able to put together in the NFL.
That's awesome. And we're talking to Steve Calhoun, quarterback coach, founder, CEO, everything for Armed and Dangerous, which is an institution, an establishment that trains NFL quarterbacks and gets them ready for the pros. Before we get into Felipe, I just want to wrap up one other thing with what you do there at Armed and Dangerous, and that's work with receivers. And now you're in my wheelhouse. That's what I pay attention to, and that's what I played. Keenan Allen, Robert Woods, Sterling Shepard, these are all guys that are route technicians, right? Very, especially
Correct.
Keenan Allen. So how did Correct. You manage to get into that side of the training aspect as well?
Well, you know, playing quarterback, you know, I always knew where the receivers need to be. So I could always coach them up a little bit on that. And then I was like, man, okay. So I, you know, my first coaching job coming back from Germany, I wanted to be a quarterback coach, you know, at a junior college. And they say, hey, we don't have a position open. We do have a receiver position open. I said, hey, well, I got to start my coaching career somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I just really started to study, you know, the film of route running, you know, watching Jerry Rice and watching, you know, Drew Pearson and Lynn Starworth, and just really studying the technique on how they get in and out of their breaks.
Yeah.
And then I was just able to apply it, you know, to the receivers that I was able to start to train, and, you know, already understanding the part of the quarterback part. So I was able to tell the receivers and give them the information like, okay, well, this is a five-step drop on this. So you got a little bit more time at the top of the route, you know, to give them something to really create separation. And so long story short, going into Keenan Allen's junior year, I had met his father, and he had, you know, his son, one was a quarterback. He had two sons. One's a quarterback at Cal Berkeley. And of course, you know, his other son, Keenan Allen, is a receiver. So I went up to Berkeley, you know, the summer before Keenan's junior year and Zach Maynard's senior year,
mm-hmm.
and just started working with Keenan. And, you know, 10 years later, you know, Keenan's a four-time Pro Bowler. And just through that, you know, having Keenan and being able to work with, you know, Robert Woods, but it's just kind of the same thing. You know, the agency that Robert Woods and Sterling Shepard, all those guys came through, you know, their agency, I was their receiver coach.
Okay.
So it just made the transition just really seamless.
That's awesome. And man, when you mm-hmm. talk about Keenan Allen, man, that's a daggone route technician. And it's
yes,
just,
sir.
It's crazy that he could change speeds within the route and just everything about that dude is one of the best route runners in the league. And, man, he doesn't get his flowers for that, even though
no.
that is the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just all comes back to fundamentals. People ask me all the time, what do I do with my quarterbacks? What do I do with my receivers to get them to the level that they're at? And it's just all about fundamentals. You know, the wheel has been around since, you know, 1901, so I'm not going to change the wheel. I might change, you know, the profile of the tire, but it's still the same wheel. So that's what I truly believe in, that armed and dangerous football. That's what I'm going to continue to do.
So the armed part of football, actually, what you have going on, man, that applies so much. Felipe Franks has a cannon for an arm. That dude, he can make any throw that you want him to make, but he's not a guy that they're talking about as a day one prospect. So for you, taking him and working with him, when you look at Felipe before you got him, what was it that, made you want to work with him?
Well, the one thing, I've known about Felipe for a while, him, me being involved with Elite 11 and him being on that circuit and all that stuff. So I've known about, he's a big, tall kid with an unbelievable arm, but he had some accuracy issues. So when I was able to work with him, I actually went down to Fayetteville before the season started. So I was able to work with him before the season. And I said, hey, the one thing, I said, I got to get your feet, to match your arm. I said, once you get your feet as good as your arm, then we're going to have something special. So that was the one thing, he wanted to come out and show me his arm. I'm like, no. I said, it's the feet is the key to quarterbacking. So, between jumping rope, getting the ankle stability, which I truly believe in as far as, if you have ankle stability, you have balance through your throw, and balance creates accuracy. And so once we started, working on that, then he went into the season and had a great year. And I only threw a couple of picks and had a lot. Really turned that program around. So, that was one of the things that I really focused on with Felipe, to kind of get him up to where, he has a chance to, get drafted as high as possible.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the focus on improving the accuracy, because that was something specifically that improved last year. So the results are right there. It's the proof is the pudding.
Yes, sir. I truly believe that. I think that goes with any quarterback that has a high, completion rate. Just watch their feet. There's Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes who can still do some stuff that nobody else on the planet can do, off balance and off platform. But when they set their feet, they can pretty much knock a wing off a butterfly, just like Felipe.
I like that saying. I like that. But, see, and, the thing is, you mentioned the accuracy. One of the other things that stands, when I watch Felipe, to me, it's really outstanding how when stuff breaks down, that guy gets on the move and he's pointing and he's directing and he's making throws down the field with tremendous accuracy also. How important is that to kind of feature and showcase, especially as you're going into these pro days and, the workouts that he's going to have?
Yeah, I think it's huge, to be able to show his athleticism. Because just how fast, the defenses are.
Yeah.
The defensive lines. Just going back last weekend to the Super Bowl, you have Patrick Mahomes, who's unbelievable in the pocket and being able to extend plays, and they still was able to put pressure on him. I think that's just where the game is changing, is that, they're looking for a more athletic quarterback to be able to extend plays, and Felipe has all of that. I don't think he gets enough credit for him being as athletic as he is and being, 6'6 and some change.
Excellent point. And it shows, that Georgia game, that's one where there were times where he was running for his life, but he was still making plays, man. And I got to give him props for that, for sure. Obviously, there are going to be NFL executives and personnel types. They're going to, hey, Coach Steve, what's up with Felipe? We need to know, why we should draft him. What's your answer? How do you respond to that question?
It's very easy. First of all, he's a great human being. He's been raised, his parents done an unbelievable job, raising him. Super humble, very respectful. And then on the quarterback side of it, he's just an absolute sponge. That's the one thing I always stress to my athletes is, when you get into a situation, you might only be told what you need to do one time, and you have to be able to perform and do it. And that's one thing that Felipe has just blown me away by, is just being able, because we haven't worked together that long, but, anytime I give him a coaching point, he really focuses on being able to do it right the first time. Because you might, you only have one chance of, to make that first impression. So if you got that one opportunity to throw a great ball, that's what you want to be able to do. So, I think, and his ceiling, he has such a high ceiling. He's really hasn't had an offense that really, enhanced his skill set. and I can't wait for that opportunity on the next level where you get an offensive coordinator and just look at all the things he's able to do and be able to put that on the, out there on the field. And Felipe's going to take that and pass with flying colors.
Now, just in closing, obviously you feel that he could excel in any offense, but as you mentioned,
yes,
one that will specifically highlight his ability. What offense would – what are some teams that, that come to mind when you mention that?
San Francisco, the Patriots, the Saints, Minnesota. You know, I mean, he really can adapt to anything that's thrown at him, or any offense that's in it. All 32 teams, You know, I mean, with the exception, I don't want him running as much as Lamar Jackson. You know, but besides the other 31, hey, he's able to play in any of those offensive schemes.
Well, hey, listen, man, I'm with you on not wanting him to run as much as Lamar. That scheme has some area for improvement. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, man, I appreciate
you.
Hey,
but the main team is the Tennessee Titans. Hey, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, hey, you know what? And that's the thing, because you're mentioning all these teams that get the quarterbacks on the move and, you know, like the boot and do waggles and those type of things.
Right.
That's obviously
right
with the Titans. So, yeah, for sure. So, well, that being said, I mean, like I said, this is a Titans show. So, one more question. Why would he fit in so well with the Titans?
Well, I mean, I love the scheme that that the Titans run. You know, with Derrick Henry, you know, I mean, good gosh, running for 2,000 yards and being able to have that and be able to go play action off of that and really, I mean, you can stretch the field, you can keep a blocker in, just because of that running tech is just so unbelievable. But I mean, you know, the same thing with the boots and the waggles, you know, Felipe's athletic, he's accurate on the run. He's accurate with his feet, you know, from the pocket. He's accurate from the pocket. I think he'll be a great fit, you know, to be able to learn from Ryan Tannehill, you know, for however long, you know, Ryan's going to be there, and then be able to take the keys and not miss a beat.
There you go. Take the keys and drive that Maserati. I love it. Coach Steve, man, I appreciate you, man. It's definitely a pleasure talking to you. And we'll have to do it again, man. We'll have to catch up, you know, once again as this whole process continues, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right, now, take care.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear the music, right? The rocket launcher. So we're going to bring in a guy who has a rocket launcher attached to his shoulder, Arkansas quarterback Felipe Franks. Felipe, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. You know what I'm saying? It's always a pleasure. Every morning you wake up, so you know you won. So that's really the approach I take to every day, man, and I'm sure you have a similar approach.
No, I agree. I think just taking every day as an opportunity, man, whether it's good or bad, whatever happens, just always being optimistic, man. I think that approach is and that just helps people be successful. It's helped me be successful. So, no, I definitely take that approach every day.
No doubt. So I want to just kind of start from the beginning and work our way up to this point. And one of the things in doing some research on you and doing some work, I saw that you, I don't want to say a self-made quarterback, but, I mean, you didn't have quarterback coaching when you were younger until you got to Elite 11 and all that. But you had a way of – still developing. So let my listeners know how you managed to do that.
Yeah, it was definitely a little crazy thing. I mean, me and my brother were big. We grew up about 5 acres, had horses and stuff. So we grew up in a pasture, man. We were always big into just being outdoors. You know, never really had a quarterback coach growing up in high school. And so I went to the Elite 11, like you said, man. But YouTube was my best friend. I used to always watch like guys like Jameis Winston and like the Tom Brady's, it's all those type of things on throwing and trying to just always get better at it because I was super raw going into college. So, yeah, that was my best friend, man, YouTube. And it's taught me a lot. YouTube's definitely, man, has a lot of content on there. So it's definitely taught me a lot.
Were there any particular techniques or anything you saw on there? Like, was it throwing the ball through a tire, hanging from a tree? I mean, what was it?
No, there was definitely drills and stuff that I tried to implement, but I think overall it was more of just I'm a visual learner, so just, I mean, being able to kind of just see them, like leadership skills, I mean, just how to throw a football in general, just being able to like, kind of just watch it and apply it when I go out to the pasture and just throw against trees and to my brother and stuff. So it was a pretty dope way to learn.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I guess it didn't hurt, you know, having a guy who went on to play D1 ball, right, at UCF and is now in the league. I guess that helped being able to throw the ball to him.
Yeah, no, exactly. My brother's a big influence in my life, man. And just the way we go about our business is important to us, just day in and day out, consistency. And just that's important. And so that's kind of where it got him where he's at now, being successful. And now, you know, helping me get myself into the position, always having somebody to throw to, somebody to push me to the extra, you know, potential in myself. So it was always great having him around, and just being able to still have him around and playing at the highest level was awesome as well.
And you got to play with him, throw the ball to him in high school. So I'm sure that was a great experience. And I remember you actually coming out of high school. And I remember it was you, guys like Jared Garantino, I can never pronounce his name right, and other like top level quarterbacks. And I just remember watching you. I think it was at the opening. I remember watching you and just having that whole process, right? And being the guy. How did you go about handling that pressure at such a young age?
Yeah, I think it definitely made me who I am today. I mean, my high school career was pretty linear. In a sense of never really having to face adversity or too many things like that. But then just getting to college and having to face those things at a young age kind of made me and shaped me into who I am today as a person, but also as a player. So, it was definitely a transition going from high school to college and things like that. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, I don't think I would trade my, you know, my upbringing or my career for anything. Just, you know, kind of all the trials and tribulations and, at the same time, being able to kind of be where I'm at now, like the most confident, comfortable quarterback I am now, being ready to take that next step into the NFL. So, it definitely was a transition from high school to college, not knowing much, just about being a quarterback. But like I said, man, it's been an awesome learning experience for me, just learning a bunch from different guys. So it's been awesome.
Now, Felipe, I don't know you, obviously, but you come across and watching you in Mobile, right, watching you from a distance, on TV, seeing different interviews and things that you've done, you come across as a guy that's very even keel, a guy that has a lot of discipline. Was there anything in your upbringing that helped develop that?
Oh yeah, of course. My dad, he was in he just retired about 2 Novembers ago, but he was in the military for 33 years. And so we definitely grew up on my dad's, you know, he doesn't eat pork. He's he drinks nothing but water and Gatorade. And, you know, just very strict about, you know, taking care of his body, doing the little things right. And so, I remember I watched the U.S. Colonel, I forget what it was. And he was talking about just little things like making your bed in the morning. Just as soon as you wake up, just something as simple as making your bed in the morning, kind of completing the first task of the day, just doing the little things right, is important. So yeah, I grew up with some discipline, my mom as well. It was awesome. It was definitely frustrating at times, but it was a good upbringing.
Looking back on it, you understand the importance of it.
Of course.
Now, looking back on your Florida career, if you had to say what the highest, like most favorable moment was, what would it be? Like me looking at your career, what would you say the pass to Tyree Cleveland to beat Tennessee? This is a Nashville podcast too, so. You know, mentioning beating Tennessee is going to put you in a bad light, but hey, it is what it is. You beat them.
Yeah. that was definitely one of my favorite one of them. Looking back on it, man, I don't even know if I could sit there and say that my overall experience. I mean, just like there were so many relationships created with like players that I talked to on an everyday basis still to this day, even when I left. So, of course, like the Hail Mary, or it wasn't even a Hail Mary, but the pass to Tyree. That was definitely one of the top ones. Just winning some big time games and just being able to kind of just get my career on my feet. And so, just a lot of the relationships along the way is kind of what I enjoyed the most about being in Florida.
Now, here's a tougher question. What would you say was the most difficult thing about your time at Florida?
Yeah, no, good question. Biggest face of adversity was when I broke my leg. That was my toughest time, because just being able to have the humility to kind of just take a step back and just see the game from a different perspective. That was kind of hard for me, because I've always been that competitive type of person to, hey, I want to be on the field, but you can't be on the field. So being optimistic and kind of just learning as you go and not just, you know, putting your head in the dumpster and, you know, keeping a good mental space. So it was really good. That was challenging, but being able to just really push back and bounce back from that was important to me. So really making a consistent effort and a conscious effort to just grow from those things. So that was good for me.
And we're talking to Felipe Franks, Arkansas quarterback, who will be in the NFL. You'll see him playing on Sunday soon. As we mentioned in the opening, you have a rocket for an arm, right? You know, you could throw the ball anywhere you want to throw on the field, but there's more to playing the quarterback position than that. So, you know, looking back at that time, that difficult time that you had at Florida, you know, with the injury, what would you say you learned the most as far as like being a leader? Because as a quarterback, that's what you have to do. How did that help you become a better leader?
Yeah, I think the one word I would say I always say is just humility. I think a lot of people kind of pass by that just as a quarterback as well. Being able to, you know, things aren't going to always be great. Being able to handle the tough situations, be able to have the guys' trust at the end of the day to, you know, whenever you go out there and, hey, you threw a pick, the next drive, you know, do you have that swagger confidence about yourself to go out there and the players trust you to go make it the next play? And so I think that was important to me to learn. And that's something that you just continuously learn over your career and just get better at. But that was one thing that I took, you know, pride in, was like, hey, let me take a step back and really just see how I can improve from a standpoint of not being on the field. So, definitely I would say humility and always just, you know, being a better leader and just learning ways to become the best me I can be. So that was definitely a factor in it as well.
That's really interesting to me because I remember Ryan Tannehill when he first got here to the Titans. That's one of the things that he said, especially once he became the starter. I asked him, you know, what he learned, and he said he was able to step back and observe things, and it helped him become a better leader as far as learning how each of these guys had to be led.
Yes, yes. And that's what is a big thing. I think that a lot of people don't realize that everybody comes from a different background, and whether it's from, you know, Florida or California, people come from every type of background, and being able to really have the personality, I guess, to kind of relate to every player from different backgrounds is important as well. And I feel like I've created so many friends from Florida to Arkansas, from just players from I would have never thought I would have met, from all types over the country. And so just being able to relate and build relationships like that's important, and it's important to me, and just building those guys' trust. So it was good.
And ladies and gentlemen, Felipe got to Arkansas and was named the team captain. And we're talking about a situation where you don't really have as much time as normal to spend with your teammates. But here he was, a new guy going into a new situation, and was named the team captain. I think that says a lot. Now, taking that and spinning it forward to the Senior Bowl, obviously as a quarterback, you're looked at from a leadership perspective. How did everything work with you as far as getting everybody, you know, getting just acclimated to that situation and having a new group of teammates just for that week?
Yeah, well, I think just going back to the team captain, I mean, I was grateful to be able to go there, and them guys have the trust in me to kind of hold them accountable, and then at the same time, I have the trust in them to hold me accountable, and it being transparent. So that was awesome for them guys to vote me, and I was, you know, more than grateful for the responsibility and for them to put me in that responsibility. So that was awesome experience. And at the same time, just at the Senior Bowl, you had a short amount of time to learn so many different players, and the offense, you're always busy. And but I think that what's most important just throughout the whole process is just never taking anything for granted. And just the little things, you know, when you're tired and you're in the meetings, you know, just, yeah, you have the opportunity to be in the meetings with the Miami Dolphins or the Carolina Panthers, just NFL clubs or anybody. So that's kind of how I approach it, you know, just taking everything, soaking up so much information, being like a sponge, man, and learning and every kind of, just never thinking you're too good to learn more. And so you see so many different perspectives on how many guys, how they played at different schools, and you just learn so much. So it was an awesome experience throughout that whole weekend, and kind of to cap it off with the game was awesome. And I mean, those guys were awesome, man. It was just kind of fun to be around the best of the best.
And watching you, one of the things that always stands out to me is just your ability to go off schedule, right? And it's really interesting because, you know, there could be chaos going on, and you'll either step up in the pocket and launch a rocket down the field like you did against Auburn for that touchdown, or even, you know, looking at the Georgia game when you hit that receiver on the corner route. It just always seems like you're calm under pressure, even when everything is just not right, not the way it should be. What is it about you that allows you to have that calm, that relaxed mindset when things don't go right?
No, thank you. No, I appreciate it. I think just, and that kind of just goes back to, it's definitely always good to have butterflies or be nervous. But one thing, I mean, I take pride in, and a lot of pride in, is just if you're, and this is kind of my opinion, and me and my brother, we think of it this way, is just being able to be mentally prepared for any situation. I mean, and that kind of starts with the way you practice. You want to make practice as hard as possible. That way when, you know, when Saturday rolls around, you're not expecting anything new. You know, your footwork's always on point because that's the way you practice. And so that's kind of something I take pride in. Obviously, it's not always perfect, but at the same time, you'll be more right than not, you know, just practicing the right way, practicing with full effort and an intentional practice. So little things like that translate to the game. And so I think just being comfortable, definitely being prepared, going into a game setting, and then at the same time, practicing the way you play, being consistent about it on a daily basis, the way you prepare. So it's just an awesome opportunity to kind of flip that switch more and more when I got the chance to go to Arkansas and really kind of just be around those guys and help, you know, be a part of something special with those guys. So it was awesome just being a part of it.
Felipe, where are you working out? Where are you training?
I train in Exos in Carlsbad in California near San Diego.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's my guy Brent Callaway used to be there. He's now in Frisco. So I know you're getting really good treatment and you're in good hands there. And a part of those good hands, Steve Calhoun, we're going to have him on the show as well. What have you learned the most from Calhoun? I mean, he's worked with guys, Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, like, you know his resume. Well, what have you learned the most from working with him?
Yeah, I think Steve's, man, Steve's a special guy. I think his ability to relate and to get things through a quarterback's head, and that's just something so signal, he's so technically sound. And when we come out here to practice and little things that we do, whether we're in the film room or at practice, just being so technically sound. And so, I mean, he does that the best. I think his ability to coach and the way he coaches is special, and he's unique at it. He's really good at what he does, and he's helped me out tremendously. And you know, an even better person. I think that's kind of what I look at as well. Mm-hmm. When, you know, when you're training with somebody day in and day out, you know, you want to be around a good person who sets a good example as well. So he's a great guy, and I mean, and a great quarterback coach. And he knows what he's talking about, man. He's an awesome guy to be around, and super smart. So I don't regret it at all.
What are some of your goals that you're looking to accomplish working with him, or even just areas that you want to tighten up as you get ready to enter the NFL?
Yeah, I think something that, I mean, a quarterback should always continuously work on. I mean, I work on footwork all the time, and that just kind of comes from whether you're on time, you know, whether you're in an off-balance throw or, well, you know, because the game's not always perfect. You take a three-step and you throw it. You know, the game's fast and you're on off-balance a lot of times. So just always continuously working on footwork, I think is important, and that's something that I just continue to work on as well. You know, day in and day out.
That's awesome. And last thing before we get you out of here, some of the feedback, because I'm sure you met with an abundance of teams in Mobile. What's the feedback you're getting? Because, I mean, looking at your size, right, that's obviously attractive. Your arm is obviously attractive. Well, what's the feedback that you get?
Yeah, I think, man, just all in all, man, it's just really just it was all about kind of just improving every day when you're at the Senior Bowl. That was really important to me. Just, you know, obviously there's a lot thrown at you, so just being able to improve every day was a big thing, and it was good. Just, I mean, really just to get around the coaches, it was never necessarily like one specific thing, but just being able to get around them and get a bunch of different opinions to get back, not only just learn from those guys, but to, like you said, you know, to get information, like, what are you thinking I can improve on, or, hey, like, what do you think I can improve on? It's just getting a bunch of different opinions and taking it back to the classroom when I got back to California, working on those things, and you know, it was really broad, but at the same time, man, just taking everything and running with it. So it was a combination of stuff, but you know, you always take it and run with it. You want the hardest coaching possible, at least I do. So I want to be the best player possible.
Good brother, I lied to you. I lied to you. I said last thing, but this is the last thing. I forgot to ask it earlier, but I thought it was really interesting, the tattoo that you have on your arm. I want my listeners to understand the significance of it and what it is.
Yeah, of course. The one I have of my brother right here, me and my brother,
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're a super close-knit family, and me and my brother, and he's helped me. You know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today without him and his guidance, his always ability to be a leader, even if we're a year and a half apart, but just being a consistent leader in our brotherhood, setting a good example, but being my best friend, but knowing when at the same time to be the older brother and being the example of what's right and what's wrong. So, you know, he's helped me out to be where I'm at today. And even when I had to go through injuries and stuff, always somebody to talk to and keep my headspace up. So, he definitely means a lot to me, and I mean, and that's kind of what the tattoo means, and really every tattoo I have is a family tattoo. I'm big family oriented, so it was awesome to just get a chance to get that on my arm and for him to be on it. So, that's the reason behind it. My brother is a big influence in my life.
Sounds like somebody that I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, you should want him leading your team at some point. So, Felipe, man, I appreciate you. It's a pleasure to do this because, like I said, watching you back in high school, you know, so it's crazy how things come full circle. So, man, I'm definitely excited to get to talk to you, man, and I wish you the best going forward.
Thank you. No, I appreciate you guys having me on the show and talking to me. I love talking ball, so I appreciate it again as well.
No doubt, man. You take care.
Yes, sir. You as well. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate you.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, here we are. It's time to wrap it up. And I wanted to just take a second just to let you guys, you know, just give you a little insight on where we go from here as far as with the draft process. The combine is going to be coming up. That'll give the guys an opportunity to just have the medical side of things done. You won't have the interviews and those things. It's a different offseason from any other. And, I mean, it's been a different year from any other. 2020 was different. 2021 is already a bit different, and it's just something that, you know, we kind of learned to roll with the punches. So that's what these prospects are doing. That's what the scouts are doing, the personnel folks, NFL evaluators, GMs, coaching staffs, everybody is doing that. So that being said, you won't see as many face-to-face interviews with the players, especially the underclassmen. The Senior Bowl was really the opportunity to talk to the guys that you're going to have available to you. And that's why pretty much all 32 teams met with all of the prospects down there. And it was a good opportunity for them to try to do some background and get some information. This is a year where teams are going to have to all the more rely on just their guys with boots on the ground, relationships with coaching staffs and colleges, universities, being able to just get that information as far as background, you know, being able to reach out to a guy who was an equipment manager and finding out how this player really was. This season, more than any other season, is going to really test the ability, the hit rate of a lot of these personnel departments. And I think that's something that we have to look at. So those are the things that you have coming up. There will be a series of pro days. Trevor Lawrence has his. And everybody is talking. Well, let's say Clemson has their. Well, Trevor Lawrence is going to have his. I don't want to say Clemson overall. But I would imagine that Amari Rodgers will be there. I would imagine that Cornell Powell will be there. So these are guys that, if you've listened to the show, you know I've connected them to the Titans. Both are really solid options, especially in the slot. But, I mean, they could play on outside too. But either way, that's how this process is kind of going to go. But also, just like a part of, like, dealing with things that have happened in 2021, I know it was all over Twitter. And, we continue to lose. I mean, Vaughn McClure, we lost Vaughn. That one hurt. We lost Pedro Gomez. We lost Sekou Smith. It just continues to happen over and over again. And this recent one just kind of like it really hit home because, you know, Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. Before Yahoo Sports, he was with the KC Star. And he was only 37 years old, and we lost him. And it's upsetting, you know what I mean, because Therese was I was really close with him. And I kind of laugh because I think about stories that we shared. And it's funny because I never forget. And he never let me forget. I remember at the Senior Bowl, we were sitting there. This was when I was doing a lot of stuff with football game plan. And after every practice, Emory Hunt, Brandon Howard, Chris James, Gene Clemens as well, whichever group of us was there, we would go over practice after the day. And I remember that practice. I was talking about one-on-ones. And Forrest Lamp, he's an offensive lineman for the Chargers. And he was going against Tano Passanio, who was an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman. He's an edge guy for the Chiefs, you know, and we're talking about small school. Forrest Lamp, Western Kentucky, going against Tano Passanio, Villanova, two small school guys down there just trying to show that they belong. And I'll never forget the rep, you know, and it was funny because Tano, he put his hands on Forrest Lamp and just kind of threw him. And the next day, there was an announcement that Forrest Lamp won't be attending the rest of the week for the Senior Bowl. So I told the story of what happened there. And, you know, we're trying to record the show. And in the back of the room, I didn't know Therese was sitting there, but he was there in the back of the room, and he just busted out laughing. And every time I saw him, he would retell that story back to me and laugh just the same. And that's just how Therese was, man. You talk about a guy who just, he could single-handedly light up your day. Just single-handedly, whether it be his smile, his laugh. Then not to mention how awesome he was at his job. I always pride myself on having a really good connection with players and getting great responses. Man, Therese got all the responses, even from Andy Reid, man. Like, he had a relationship with, you know, you watch Deion Sanders, everybody. He had – it was just really great just watching. And he's younger than me. You know, Therese was 37. I'm 44. But it still was like, you know – he was somebody that I kind of looked up to and was like, yo, I want to make sure that I have that connection with players like that. The guy just slayed the Super Bowl coverage and now he's gone, man. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. So I wanted to just take a second to shout Therese out because I know, you know, when there were difficult times that I had a particular time, you know, in my career, he was someone that would always call me. You know, and make sure that everything was cool. And that's gone now. So before I get to shedding tears, man, I want you all to listen to this because this is just Therese, man. And it's something that, you know, I just will remember him by because that guy had the funniest movie impersonations also. And I want to, you know, have my memory of Therese be a happy one. So this is him imitating Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. It's something that one of the digital guys for the Kansas City Star have put together. It's a collage. It's on my timeline. If you want to watch the whole thing, you definitely should. But this is something that I really, it just made me laugh. And I want to leave and end the show on that note. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Before you tune out, though, check out my man, Therese.
Get to the chopper. Get down now. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch.
I'm Therese Paylor signing off.